Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning, and a very, very happy Christmas to you all. That's all right. I suspect you haven't opened your presents yet, but nevertheless, if you have, I see the boys and girls have, and they've brought their stuff, and so we're looking forward to seeing what they. Oh, Jacob got his. Good. He'll be scooting along. I think he wants six others as well. And you're very welcome, a very happy Christmas to you all. If you're listening online, as we're webcasting this morning as well, we trust that you'll know a very happy and a blessed Christmas today as well. We're going to start the road running and we're going to sing our first carol. We'll get you to stand and sing together 149, O Come All Ye Faithful. And we'll stand to sing for this one and then we'll remain seated for the next one. Let's all stand and sing together. Thanks to the band. My favourites is full of theology, and that theology brings great reality of the miracle that Christmas is. Let's bow together in prayer before we sing the next carol as we settle ourselves. We're here, yes, it's Christmas morning. We're here to meet one another and to share in our greetings one for the other. But we're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's our motivation here this morning. And that's why you dragged yourself out of bed a wee bit earlier this morning than usual, because we're here to worship Him. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity of bowing together this Christmas morning, and yet it's the Lord's Day morning. And we thank you, Lord, whatever day we can have that joy, whatever day it is we can have that joy, that sense of celebration, that sense of thanksgiving for the fact that Christ came from the ivory palaces of heaven down to this sin-cursed earth to take upon himself the form of man that he might redeem mankind from all iniquity. For this purpose, Christ was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so thank you today, Lord. We worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We come to bring our tributes of praise and thanksgiving to the one who rules the world and one day will rule with all authority. And our Father, we pray as we bow together that we may indeed be enriched in our spirits and in our hearts as we come to bring our tributes of praise, remembering, Lord, those who aren't able to be here because of sickness or still because of disability. Or, Lord, those who weren't able to get out of the home this morning, we pray, whatever the cause, whatever the situation, that God himself will meet with them in a very special way. We pray, Lord, for those who would be lonely and sad at this time, first Christmas without a loved one. And we ask, Lord, that you'll meet them at the very point of their need. We ask, Lord, that you will draw near now. And may we, Lord, as we communicate and interact with the children, as we listen to a little later on your word, we ask, O God, that you will bless all of our activity today in Christ's name. Amen. I'm just going to bring one or two announcements. Other than that, today is Christmas Day. We have no service tonight. And as far as I'm aware, there's nothing more until next Sunday, when we have our communion service in the morning, and then we have a Thanksgiving prayer service in the evening. So that's next Sunday. So remember that, nothing during the week, except a turkey dinner or whatever it is you're having today at dinner time. And then you'll be full of roast beef and unbelief, and you'll be sleeping. And so enjoy your Christmas dinner. Then next Sunday, communion on the Sunday morning. And then we have a praise service. A number of people are taking part from I'm calling it a home brew. When we have several people from the congregation who are taking part. And guess what? I'm thinking of singing a song as well. Well, maybe that'll be, you might stay away. Well, if there's a poor crowd, I know that's why you stayed away. And so please remember that. And also we have a big announcement. A big announcement. And that is, I just heard this morning that Aaron Kirkpatrick got engaged to be married on Monday. Well, I'm sure you'll be able to throw your arms around him and congratulate him later on in the service. So we wish you all the best, Aaron, in your future plans together. Now, we're going to remain seated this time, and we're going to sing Child in a Manger, Infant of Mary. When it comes up, that is. There you go.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Now, boys and girls, this is a part of the service that absolutely terrifies me out of my skin. So I'm going to ask you to come forward. Please, every one of you come forward, because I'm going to ask you two simple questions. And so if you've got anything that you want to show good man Jacob, I tell you, I think you like scooters, don't you, Jacob?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes.
Yes. What would you like beside one scooter?
Five
of them. So that's five scooters plus one is a many? Six.
Four.
Oh, six. So, tell me this, would you have one for every day?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Would you go to school in one?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Come on ahead. We're going to ask you all each wee question. All right, tell me this. Did you get what you wanted, Harper?
Yes.
Yes, you did. Are you happy with it?
Yes.
Are you delighted?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, what about you, Ezra? Did you get what you wanted?
Yes.
And are you very happy with it?
Yes.
Okay. And what about you, Abigail? Did you get what you wanted?
Yes.
Are you happy with it?
Yes.
Oh, good. Do you want any more questions? No. Would you like an electric one?
Yeah.
That's next Christmas sorted. All right, and what about you? Did you get what you wanted? Would you want to show it? You want to hold it up in the air to let everybody see? I don't know what these things are. Are you happy with it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. And what about you? You're twins, eh? Did you get what you wanted?
Yes.
Are you very happy?
Yes.
Okay. What did you get? Were you wanting this as well? Did you? And did you get what you wanted?
Yeah.
Are you very happy with it?
Yeah.
A scale of 1 to 10.
10.
Oh. Hit the right note. Okay. And what about you, Caleb? This is our star singer from last Sunday. Yeah. Isn't that right? Caleb, did you get what you wanted?
Yes.
Are you very happy with it?
Yes.
Oh, look at that. Show it up. And then we're gonna get you all to show them in a wee minute. And what about you, Lydia? Did you get what you wanted?
Yes.
And are you very happy with it?
Yes.
And what about you, Michael? Did you get what you wanted?
Yes.
Let me see what you got. Are you happy with it?
Yeah.
A scale of 1 to 10.
10.
Oh, all right. Like that. Benji, come here. You come on to me. Benjamin, did you get what you wanted?
Yeah. Thank you. Where's your guitar?
Oh, look at this.
Wow.
You're going to copy the pastor, are you? Oh, he's not talking.
Shy.
He's not like his daddy. Alright, but did you get what you wanted? Did I talk to you yet, did I? Did you get what you wanted?
Yes.
Success. Oh, yeah, boy. And did you get what you wanted?
Yeah.
There you go. I'm not, no. Love it. You probably can't see him. That's him there. And tell me, did you get what you wanted, Pat? You did?
Yeah.
Are you very happy with it?
Yeah.
Now, I want you all to do one thing. Would you? Anybody else who didn't get? Did you get what you wanted?
Yes.
That's no chance. Did you get what you wanted, Beth?
Yes.
Hands up those of you who haven't opened your presents yet. I opened, I believe in the royal process. We did ours last night. And I'm wearing one of mine today. That's from Beverly. Right. Anyway, anyway, I'll not say any more. Right, after two, I want you to put your presents way up in the air and show everybody what you got. One, two. Whee! Thank you. Now you can go back to your mummy again. You can be on your bike there, Jacob. Thank you, Caleb. Oh, dear me. That took more out of me than an hour and a half sermon. All right, we're going to sing the children's song, Away in a Manger, and we'll get you to stand, please, and we'll sing it together. They can stay there if they want, not annoy me. Okay, Away in a Manger, and we'll stand and sing together, please. miracles. It's interesting that everybody said that they were very happy, they got what they wanted, and that they were 100%, or in fact a scale of 1 to 10, everybody said it was a 10. And so, Mummy and Daddy, or Sandra, or whoever's responsible, they hit the right note. But there is an even greater gift that I'm going to explain to the mummies and daddies in just a moment, that hits the right note, that meets the need of every heart, and it's the reason that we have such celebration. It is that that light that came into the world was the Lord Jesus, and he came to bear witness to the nature and the character of God and what it is that God can do for us. And so there is an even greater gift, the gift of salvation that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That was a welcome distraction. All right, we're going to read together then from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, let me give you a wee bit of the background, because it is Jesus, the light of the world, or the greatest light that ever has and ever will be. If you've ever heard of the Dark Ages refer to a time when there was a general lack of knowledge. And then the term known as enlightenment is when that unknown knowledge became known, or it increased in knowledge. And throughout Scripture, light and darkness are used in that way. When it speaks of light, it speaks of enlightenment, it speaks of a description of stuff that existed but we didn't know until a time when that light became prevalent and real. And also then, when it speaks about darkness, it's speaking about that lack of understanding, that lack of knowledge. Metaphorically, darkness speaks of knowledge that is hidden. And light is equated as knowledge that is revealed. When we get to Isaiah chapter 9, we see the people had been sitting in darkness. Now, Isaiah is spoken prophetically. In other words, he's foretelling what's going to take place. And the darkness that Judah was in was increasing. And the deliverance hadn't yet come, but he speaks in a way as if it already has come, at darkness. And the Assyrian army had taken the northern kingdom and had already rifled them and taken them into captivity. Judah hadn't experienced the Assyrian army just yet, but they were on the path, they were on the war path. And there were dark clouds hanging over the people's life. Doom and gloom were hanging over the people. Fear had gripped their hearts. They knew what Assyria had done to the northern kingdoms, and they knew that what they had done to the northern kingdoms, they were going to do to their kingdom. And into that situation, Isaiah writes this prophecy. And we're going to try and associate that with ourselves for the few moments that are to me this morning. Let's read together from Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll read the first 7 verses. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in the Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoiced before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Every warrior's sandal from noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. And here's the reason why that burden, that doom and gloom, that darkness and despair, and that depression and distress and disillusionment. Here's the reason, he's going to explain it now, as to what dispelled all of that. And he's now, you remember, he's telling a foretime, ahead of time, as if they already have experienced that darkness. And here's what he says. For unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless us these few moments that we seek to bring a message regarding the greatest light the world has ever seen. What do you do? What do you say? How would you interact with people whose lives are sitting under darkness and gloom and despair? There seems no hope in the future, and there seems no end to the darkness and the difficulties that they're facing. How do you minister into that situation? How do you minister into people who can't see their way forward? How do you minister into people's lives who have virtually thrown in the towel and given up because they see that the enemy is far outstrips and outmatches their abilities? You bring light into the situation. You bring illumination to the situation. You see, you shine a light and you point to the one that is that light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over again we see in God's word where light is described as that great way that shows us the way forward. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And so God is saying to us today, there is a light. There is a way through the doom and gloom. There is an answer to the despair and disillusionment. There's someone who came 2,000 years ago. By the way, Judah were still waiting for the Messiah to come. But we look back today and we see he has come. Messiah has come. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so there are just a couple of things that I want to mention to you today. See, Isaiah launches into how and through whom God would accomplish this for them. He speaks of the promised Messiah. Someone they could hope in. Someone they could have faith in. Someone they could trust in. Someone they could go forward with into the days that lie ahead. We don't have to live in ignorance and uncertainty. We do not have to live in fear and anxiety. The very fact that you're here today is because you believe that the Messiah came. It's not only a tradition, but it's a reality for you. I have two things to say about him then. He came to display the glory of God. The glory of God. Here's what Hebrews says. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. There's only one thing that's missing in this world today. You know what that is. And it's not finance. It's not love. It's not peace. Mind you, there are a lot of these things are missing. It's not security, assurance, laughter, finance. It's not even cheer. There is one thing that's missing today, and that is light. Light. Do you know that light was not created until the fourth day of creation? Light existed by the emanating glory of God. It was the emanating glory of God that lightened the world, that lightened the earth. You look up in your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 1. You'll see that light, the moon and the sun and the stars were not created till the fourth day. So it was the glory of God. And here's what's wrong with the world today. They haven't got that light, the Shekinah glory of God shining anymore. Because they've dismissed and they've rejected God. And the world is sinking into ever deepening darkness and despair. And the one thing that would answer their darkness and their doom and gloom. Judah was in the trouble, and in their trouble because they had neglected God. But he said, I'm going to send you a Messiah. Someone who will tell you exactly who God is. Who will shine with his expressed glory that emanates from his personality and his character and his nature. That light that lightens every man that comes into the world. Jesus came. Let me tell you something. I spoke with a youngish person quite a number of years ago. Here's what they said. They said, I love Jesus, but I'm not very fond of God. They were reading through the Old Testament and they saw all these wars and all these various pestilences, and they attributed this to the anger and the unrelenting anger of God. Let me tell you, whenever Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He is the very expression of who God is. And the more you get to know Jesus, listen, the more you get to know Jesus, the more light you'll have in your life, and you'll not be in the gloom and the doom and despair and the uncertainty of the future, because you'll be walking in the light as he is in the light. And he will show you the path. And by the way, it might look like doom and gloom, and it might look like despair, but he is the one who rules all doom and gloom. He came to display the glory of God. In fact, it says in Revelation 21, there will be no more need for sun or moon or stars in heaven, because God himself is the light of the world. Isaiah said in chapter 60 and verses 1, 19 to 20, that exact same thing, that he, God, is the light and the glory of the world. You want to know what's wrong with the world today? It's going to continue going into ever deepening darkness and despair, because they've rejected him who is the light. And if you're in doom and gloom today, it's because you've rejected and neglected the light. But good news is, if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Here's the second thing before my voice gives up. By the way, have you ever gone into a cave? I've gone into the caves in County Mayo, there's caves in County Cork and County Tipperary, but they say that there are some caves that you can go to that they go so deep that there is no light whatsoever. Now, the experts in physics say that if your eye cannot catch any light, it cannot distinguish, it cannot see in the dark. When there's that complete darkness, it can see nothing. But you light a match, or you strike a flint, and your eye catches immediately on that light. Well, Jesus is that light. In the dark world in which we find ourselves, and he'll enable you and plod away through this life and bring you to that place of recognizing your need of Christ. And by the way, education, religion, and training, and reformation, and cathedrals, and correctionals, and cardinals can't point you in the right direction. Jesus is the light. I would love to sing a good bluegrass song right now. I saw the light. I saw the light. What a song. And by the way, whenever John, whenever Paul, Saul of Tarsus, questioned, who are you? He says, I am the one that you are persecuting, when he was being blinded by the light. So the light identified himself as Jesus. If you're in darkness, it's because you haven't opened your eyes to behold Jesus. You're looking for light in all the wrong places, in philosophies and all sorts of codology. You'll find light in Jesus and Jesus alone. Here's the second thing. He came to declare the grace of God. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Everything you need today is in Jesus. Jesus reveals God to us. In John chapter 1, we see there it's referred to as Jesus, where through his life we beheld grace upon grace. And in verse 18 of John chapter 1, he has declared God to us. He reveals God. Now, what God is doing in your life, I don't know. Maybe you don't understand it yourself. But let me tell you, whatever you may be going through, whatever the uncertainty might be, whatever the dark clouds that might be over your life, as it was in Judah, it was his punishment for their walking away from God. God might be trying to draw you to himself, and Jesus is the only way that he can reveal God to you. Jesus reveals God to us. Jesus reconciles us to God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It says in 1 Peter 3, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." Christmas is about a Saviour coming into the world to save sinners. It's not about tinsel. It's not about Christmas cake. Well, I love Christmas cake. And I'm very partial to a wee bit of boiled cake. Esther, you may get the freezer ready now. Because of Adam's sin and your and my sin, we were plunged into darkness. But he reconciles us back to God. He reconciles us. He restores godliness in us. Here's what Peter says. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. For you were once not a people, but now are you the people of God. You have not received, had you not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And the last thing that I want to say before we sing our concluding carol, Jesus is our resort to God. It says in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." He's our line of communication. He's our communion. He's the course in which we ought to set our seals. Every decision we make, every challenge we face, every difficulty we meet, every doubt we have, every problem we know of, we can come to the Father through Christ. Through Christ. Whether it's sin in our life, whether it's addiction in your life, whether it's hurt, whether it's habit or fear or confusion. I hope you like that little video I sent out last night, the true message of Christmas. Without him there could be no healing. Without him the hurts could not be resolved. The difficulties could not be cleared up. Without him, he's the route, the channel to all that we would ever need in life and in the life to come. You imagine as Isaiah is writing his prophecy, they're sitting in darkness. This catastrophe is about to happen to them, and it will come upon them. But he's causing them to think beyond that. There's a way out of the mess that you're about to be in. That's a good motto for 2023. There's a way through for 2023. And Christ is that way. He's the light. Bible says light was come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Can I challenge you today, when you're sitting at your Christmas dinner, when you give thanks, remember to give thanks for that light that has come into the world and how that light can shine and guide you through your life. Let's pray together in prayer before we sing our next carol. Thank you. Our Father, we thank you for the fact that before the trouble ever came upon Judah, you were already ministering to the needs of their hearts. They were about to be plunged into darkness and despair. And yet, Lord, you preempted it through your servant, Isaiah. And he said, there is one who's coming. Might be insignificant, might look inferior, a little helpless babe born in a manger. But in him, was the light of life, the Saviour of the world. We pray, Father, that this Christmas period, you'll once again remind us of that great Messiah, the one who came that mankind might be redeemed and might follow a course of righteousness and holiness and godliness through this life and on into eternity. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We'll all stand and sing together. 147 of you using the book, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King." We'll stand and sing, please. Let's stand. through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and help and comfort of the Holy Spirit be our portion over this Christmas period. May we see, find that light. May the light begin to shine in our hearts and in our lives, and begin to expose and reveal those things in our lives that are not right and not glorifying to God. And then set us on that straight path that leads to heaven and home. And to you we give you praise and glory and honour. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen. And they shouted,
amen.
A very happy Christmas to you all from myself and Esther and me. You have a really, really good 2023.